It's your man, Wolfman in the morning. And Tiger Jack on the weekends.
Oh my god. And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz, and I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, thanks for joining us this week, guys.
At DFF underscore Madman, and Shane the DJ Manila.
Hello, lover. You know what show that's from?
At DFF underscore Shane. What? No, what's
no,
that
I don't
from?
Have my own show. Do you know what show that's from?
No, I don't remember.
From Friends.
What?
When Phoebe was pretending on Chandler.
Yeah,
and she was like, hello, lover.
I thought you were talking more about DJs. I thought there was like a famous DJ that would say that all the time.
Maybe. I don't know. DJ Phoebe.
We have a good trade show tonight. We've got a lot of information tonight talking about trades and some of the trades we were asked about from our listeners and our Patreons. And what'd you say?
Yeah, I'm just agreeing. I'm just going...
He's like, yep.
But before we... Yeah, it's been a while since we had an all-trade show, so we'll be doing a lot of trades tonight. But before we get to that, we have some news brought to us by the rotoassurance.com. Put in Dynasty Trades HQ, all in caps, and get your 20% off. The big story everybody keeps talking about is Todd Gurley, but it seems like that's a story that keeps coming and going all the time.
So, the latest news, Jay Glazer's reporting that Todd Gurley doesn't even actually have knees.
they fell off last week.
Yeah, so that was kind of unexpected. Like, everybody knew that he had bad knees, but now he just doesn't have knees at all. So, I am not a doctor, a scientist, or a urologist, so I don't know how that affects your running, but I'm thinking knees are very important to running. I could be wrong. I mean,
I think the urologist part is pretty funny too. I think, I don't know, we keep hearing stuff like this, like it comes and then there'll be another story that'll come out later that everybody's like off of it and then they're back on it. But it is funny how much the Daryl Henderson thing is like jumping up to a lot of people in their rookie drafts. And on Twitter we did get a lot of trade questions, people asking about that.
So just, I want you to know, me being me, as soon as I saw the news on Gurley.
I'm sure.
Because I had already unloaded the shares that I bought earlier in the offseason. They're already gone. but I definitely sent out trades in just about every league I could think of for Daryl Henderson. And I did make one trade where I got Daryl Henderson. I already know you guys won't like it, and I don't really give a shit.
I was just going to say, what did you give up? What did you do?
Yeah, did you give up too much?
Well, it was one of those trades where, like, in the group me chat, someone went, Shane's drunk. so I gave up David Johnson, who is 28 years old. How old is David Johnson? He's in his mid-30s.
I think you're right on. 27, 28. You're close.
Are we keeping you awake, Jeremy?
Jesus Christ. Just go take a nap. We'll get back to you. So David Johnson,
he's 27.
He's only 27. He looks old.
He's not old, man.
He is old.
Maybe it's because he's hurt every year. Maybe that's why you think that.
Actually, so he'll play 2019 in his year 28 age. So he'll be 28 years old. Though he doesn't have a lot of wear on him because, well, he missed an entire year. And he started his pro career late. He didn't start until he was 24 because he had to repeat the freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, and senior year in college.
Nice. Well, it'll be 28 in December, so I mean, by all accounts, the season's over by December 11th for the most part. I know they have games for a few more weeks, but he'll turn 28 toward the end of the season. I'm just saying he's not an old running back, but he has had some injuries.
For the running back, though, they start to hit a decline right after 26. I can't credit the author that showed that work because I read a lot, but I don't actually write down a lot of the authors. So if you wrote that,
Adrian Peterson, man, he tapered off.
Except for Adrian Peterson, who is a freak of nature, who tore every ligament in his knee and then came back, the next season and ran for almost 1,800 yards. But he's a freak of nature. Anyway,
Marshawn Lynch, those guys just laugh at that, but it's true, man. They just can't stick around as long as wide receivers. So you're saying you're concerned that, he's going to be 28 this year, so he's seen better days.
And there's always outliners like Outliers. I mean, there's always outliers like AP and Marshawn Lynch. But what was your final trade that you sent him?
So I ended up giving up David Johnson. I got back another David Montgomery.
Good, nice.
And Darrell Henderson.
You got both of them?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's better. Yeah, that's better that you got both of them, that you got Montgomery with the two. I thought you were going somewhere where you were saying you just got Henderson with that.
Oh, no. Like Henderson, like, because there's a few leagues where, like, I sent out second round draft picks. Nobody was biting on that.
No.
Like, if you look in not a lot of the rookie drafts, but a few of the rookie drafts that I've seen, I think I've seen them go as high as 106 in a super flex, which, you know, I can't even be mad at you, because if Gurley doesn't play this year or is severely limited, you're going to look like a fucking genius with that, you know? But, you know, if Gurley can't go, or Gurley's limited, or if they want to give him, I don't know, 50% carry share. I'll tell you what, this is what I'm afraid with Gurley, right? And I said this on Twitter. I'm afraid what's going to happen with Gurley is he's going to play a week and then won't be able to play next week. He'll play 2 weeks, and then we won't know if he's going to play for the next 3 weeks.
Right, or be limited like he was, you know, not knowing whether he's going to play at the end of the season for championship weeks for people. Just the uncertainty of that is enough to cause a hell of a lot of problems.
Exactly. Like, I'd rather a guy, and I think most fantasy folk people would, if you're going to get stuck with a guy that's either in or out all year and you don't know, and he might even play, but he plays three snaps, like, I'd rather he just be gone for the year. Although that really wouldn't help Gurley at this point, from what it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, holding on to wide receivers and tight ends, I've done that, you know, plenty of times. I held on to Rob Gronkowski. I didn't get rid of him, you know, that what may be, in fact, his final season. I had him on a lot of teams. First of all, I owned a ton of stock in Rob Gronkowski over the years in startups. I'd be the guy taking him, you know, after the 1.7 or whatever, 1.08 in the first round or something. So I owned a lot of stock in him, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, guys like that. And I held on to him because, like, unlike running backs, where I try to get out of them before it's too late. Because and the simple fact of the matter is because, like you are pointing out, their careers just aren't as long. They can't play as long. I mean, you know, they probably start as a rookie or maybe their second year in the league, whereas receivers take a little longer generally, and tight ends even a little longer than wide receivers. But you keep them until maybe they're 30 years old or something. They play at an elite level, or can play at an elite level longer. So I try to get out of running back sooner, and I don't really place a lot of stock in them. But like Sipes trying to get out of David Johnson before, not buying into him too much. But he did buy into Gurley. I'd like to know how he feels about Gurley in a little bit when we talk about him. That was his guy. He loves Gurley.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point you have to realize these guys are not made of titanium. I mean, well, sometimes their knees end up being partly titanium, I'm sure. But, like, you know, when do you get out of them? When do you get rid of David Johnson and take on two stud rookies like that that may very well be starting for both the teams, you know, the Bears and the Rams soon? I think that the risk you took there, David Johnson may have a great season because Cliff Kingsbury is going to turn the Arizona Cardinals into a juggernaut. Maybe he does. Maybe David Johnson has a great season, but how many more is he going to have, even if he does have one this year? Whereas Montgomery talked about at one point, like the 101, well, the number one overall running back at one point for a lot of people. And in fact, a lot of people still like him and think they like his situation in Chicago. So you got two backs that you can't argue with their potential. And you gave up, you know, a guy who's on the tail end of his career more than likely. So I can't argue with that trade, man. You may well have just, you know, that might have been a coup for you, honestly.
You're
not going to argue with it.
If we're going to start name calling, you're a coup.
I think he was giving you a compliment. But
no, thank you. I like
this. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that trade. But like Jeremy said, I have been off of David Johnson for a couple of years, so I'm fine with getting rid of him. And yeah, I do love Gurley. I have Gurley in so many places, and I've really counted on him, and he's helped me win a lot of championships. But the problem I have right now is it seems like every couple of weeks there's a different story, and the pendulum goes up and down and up and down. So yeah, if you want to say that this is the final story and that, yeah, this is the time, there's no way that next week there's going to be a better story that, oh, he's fine, you know, then you get out of it. But the offseason's a very long time, and everybody's trying to do something to try to get ahead of whatever story's being told. And for me, in the places where I have him, I'm going to still wait. You know, I could end up getting something better for him, or maybe I get screwed, or maybe he ends up being great again. I don't know.
He'll never be great again. Here's the thing. You know, it's funny though. Is Scott, one of our patrons, and also of Dynasty and Chill, which is a great podcast.
Yeah,
That
Scott
Jeremy's
Connor. Yeah.
actually been on.
Yeah, Scott's
But
a
he
good
brought
guy.
it up. I think he brought up the point before in one of the chats in the patron chat. And go become a patron because you get to talk with us and other excellent, very cool people
Yes.
in our GroupMe chat. When you're a patron, you also get written content. Actually, just dropped something this week and a bonus podcast every week and the uncensored episode. I mean, for $5 a month, you really can't beat it. I mean, I've heard other people describe their patron as being cheaper than a couple cups of coffee, which is true.
Yes.
Coffee's expensive as balls. I guess that's not a good analogy. I don't know that balls are expensive.
I was just
So
about to
coffee's,
ask.
yeah. I mean, if they are though, feel free to let me know, anyone. If you've purchased balls before, just let me know how much they are.
Oh my God. I think you were trying to say something about girly. Go back.
Oh, anyway, so Scott brought up a perfect a good point about Gurley. Like
Yes.
his unless he has basically two great seasons in a row, and even then it's not going to happen, but his value is never going to bounce back,
Right.
because either he is as messed up as all signs point to, and again we'll go through the whole rigmarole, which is not a word, of not playing in the Super Bowl, re-signing Malcolm Brown, blah 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 blah, and then drafting a running back, blah. Anyway, but even if he goes out there next year and he can't play well, that's bad for his value. But then if he does go out there and then say he can carry the ball another 220 times, well, you know what's going to happen? Everyone's going to go, well, he's a year older on bad knees with 220 more carries on them. So I think he's in that spot where you're probably just never going to get the value that he's worth, even if he reaches the heights that he did
Well,
in the past.
and I agree with you in that sense that, yeah, maybe it is time to move on. But a lot of times, the way I play it is I hold out for the players that I think I want to hold out for. And I'm sure I can move him to get some good pieces if I wanted to. But a lot of those teams that I have him on are either championship teams from last year or contending teams right now. And I kind of feel better holding on to him. But that's not to say every league is different. I could do something with it. I don't know. But right now, I haven't. When Jeremy asked what I've done, I haven't moved him. I've held on to him. And it is funny, though. I do get a lot of messages from people. Hey, I know you're holding on to Gurley. You want Henderson? And then when people are saying that, you know they're looking to get like a big cash out to try to get him, you know?
It's funny with running backs, like you just said. You find guys you like and you kind of bank on them for a while. But I doubt that Todd Gurley, even if he comes back and they say, oh, he's 100% healthy, ever has another 17 touchdown in 14 game ru 17 rushing touchdowns in 14 games that he played last year. I don't see that happening time and time again. And even with all those touchdowns he had, I know he only played 14 games like that, but Saquon Barkley as a rookie scored more PPR points than Gurley, and so did McCaffrey. They were basically tied at the top in PPR because of the receiving, the receptions and yards there. I just don't see Gurley duplicating that, like Shane said. You know, Kamara was right behind Gurley, who shares some time. James Conner below that. The thing that's just I don't. I, it stands out, and back to David Johnson having 234 PPR points last year, which was one more than Mixon, and only like 9 more points than Tariq Cohen, who's just a change of pace. But Tariq Cohen's, I realize he's targeted like a wide receiver in a lot of games, 71 receptions last year, but he's still not like the main running back. I mean, he's. You know, change of pace back if you've ever seen one. He does a lot of things. He plays a lot of snaps, but still, you know, he was only 9 points off of David Johnson's full, I think, season of work at 234 points. These guys just don't hold the mantle. And I don't have it in front of me, but I saw something about how many running backs repeat their running back one seasons, how many times they're able to be running back one. And isn't it like three seasons or something like that? These guys stay a top 12 running back. And so the investing in one of those guys high and expecting them to do that for, say, 4 or 5 years is a little ludicrous. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe a guy like McCaffrey, Barkley, these guys that catch a lot of passes, can do that. But I just don't see those the value in a bell cow back when you can maybe get a wide receiver that's going to have, you know, 6 years. Same thing for them. They might not be wide receiver one for all 6 years, but are they going to have a longer career as a valuable asset on your roster? Like your line, I mean, being able to put them in your lineup, I mean,
well,
for a longer time.
The other thing I'll say about it is, to me, a lot of this, a lot of fantasy is mind play and chess play and knowing the people you're playing against and making moves. And something like right now, when the story is so hot and everybody's like trying to dump them, it's like one of the worst times to try to get rid of them anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you're going to get a lot of shit offers and everything like that. But to me, the other thing is, you know, we've been in a lot of startups the last couple of months, and I've had a top four or five pick in almost every one of these startups, which I don't know. You know, I prefer down to be at the bottom, but I've passed on Gurley in every single one of them. Yeah, okay. I prefer to be at 12, sorry. But, you know, I passed on Gurley every single one of them, and there was a couple of startups where people were like, whoa, Sipes passed on Gurley, you know? So I'm not going after him in these startups really high, but in the places where I do have him, I'm holding on for right now because, you know, who knows what'll happen down the road. And it's all league specific. Know the people you're playing against, know what kind of people are in your league and what kind of deals you can make, and later on I'll maybe do something or not. But
I don't think there's gonna be later on with him. The next thing you're gonna hear is that he's having microfracture stem cells regenerated into his knee from an umbilical cord or something.
And if that's the case, like I said,
you can't just be like, I'm going to get rid of this guy now before it gets worse, and out of fear,
exactly,
sell him low, because we've seen some of that. At least wait until there's some good news. I don't think, you know, it's pretty bleak right now what you can get out of that situation. So, there's no harm in waiting and see if it improves. As an optimist, I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And
I don't think it's going to improve that.
Well, I'm not saying he's ever going to repeat, but that I have a greater likelihood of trading him for more.
Yes,
if I do.
Well, and that's the other thing too. That's the best thing about Dynasty and Fantasy and all of this, is everybody has their own opinions and they have their own way of doing things. And for right now, it's what, 2 days away from June. We still have months to go. So the other story that we had here was about Chris Carson on the news. Yeah. What?
Chris Carson had a little work done on his knee. And just real quick, my wife has fake tits. I've literally never heard anyone ever say they've had a little work done if it's not referring to their fake tits or nose.
No, or usually a little
possible butt injections, though I don't know anyone on a personal level that's gotten butt injections.
Oh, come down to South Florida. It's all over the place.
I don't know how they feel.
I don't know how they feel, but they're all over South Florida.
So I'll tell you what, if anyone's had butt injections, male, female, I don't really care, and you live in the Philadelphia area, I would like to touch them.
Oh my God.
Not in a sexual manner at all.
Cash in now, honey.
Or wait a second. What about if they're in Canton, Ohio? Maybe they could come see us in August, because we're going to be at a convention in Canton, right?
That's true. So if you're in the Canton, Ohio area as well, sometime in August, I forget exactly when, and we'll get that information. And you have a fake butt, please come see me, because I'd like to touch it.
And even if you don't have a fake butt, Jeremy, yeah, we'll get everybody the information. But come out and meet all three of us. We'll be at the convention. It'll be a lot of fun.
Chris Carson had a little work done, air quotes, according to Pete Carroll. And he should be practicing in a couple weeks. Pete Carroll is the most upbeat human being that's ever lived in any existence anywhere.
It must be the gum he chews. It's got to be something in that gum.
Yeah, there's definitely methamphetamines in that gum.
Oh, my God.
So
we don't know that, allegedly.
Pretty good chance that Chris Carson's going to miss most of the preseason, I'm going to go ahead and say. And Rashad Penny, 2019 running back one. Anyone?
No, I'm not going to go that far, man.
Yeah. That whole situation... Yeah, that whole situation, it's like, is Chris that? Is it, you know, even last year, everybody kept bouncing around. Is it Chris? Is it Rashad Penny? Is, you know.
Oh, that's been a turnstile there for how long?
That's what I mean.
You don't have to be Like Thomas Rawls, you don't have to be a highly drafted player for the Seahawks to plug you in and ride you to, you know, the playoffs. Man.
Exactly. Was there anybody out there that was counting on Chris Carson to be an RB1 for them?
Not last year.
There's a lot of people, and I'll tell you what, he's fun to watch, man. Oh, I'll tell you that. He's a small, powerful, compact, like just fucking wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Who I think is actually a very good running back.
I like him. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think his style is conducive to a long-term career. And he's already had some injuries, like a broken leg, obviously. You can't do much about that. Drink more milk.
I don't think drinking more milk would help.
When you're a child, drink more milk.
Go back in time, drink more milk, Chris Carson. and then you'll be able to avoid those broken legs. But he has had other injuries. And just the fact that they invested a first-round pick in, you know, if they go 2 years in a row with not using Rashad Penny, I will lose my fucking mind.
He's going to get a shot, you know. He looked okay at times last year. He looked pretty good. He's going to get a shot, but I like Travis Homer too, man. I mean, like I said, guys come out of nowhere for the Seahawks, and maybe, you know, if Chris Carson is delayed, maybe, you know, Penny and Homer get some action, and they look good in that. Who knows what happens? So, you can't count on Chris Carson. I mean, I did last year a lot, but I don't know what you're counting on this year. And that's funny because of how well he did last year. Now people think they can count on him. I'd be skeptical about that.
Chris Carson was one of those guys that I really love because it was like 2 years ago, I guess it was. I remember being at a restaurant when I went and looked on the waiver wire to see if he was available, and he was available like in every one of my leagues, and I picked him up in like almost every single one of them that night, and then he played really well. I always liked that guy too, but you're right. It's in that system, there's always somebody the next guy up, you know.
Well, I mean, it was Thomas Rawls.
Right.
It was someone else that I can't remember.
Well, exactly.
Chris Carson. And I'm not going to remember.
Mike Davis, wasn't it, at one point?
Well, Mike Davis always got a little bit of run, not enough. I think he had like a 4-game run 2 years ago. But that's when Carson, you know, was playing really well and then broke his leg. So it might have just actually been Thomas Rawls straight to Carson. But I'm not going to, you know, Chris Carson is, you know, I was wrong on him last year. He's a good running back, but Rashad Penny actually looked very good, I think, when he touched the ball last year.
So what are you trading? What are you sending out offers for with Rashad Penny?
Rashad Penny. Him and Royce Freeman were the guys that I kept sending out late first-round draft pick offers for. Hit and miss. Not a lot of people took it because most of the people that, you know, had Penny on their team, they invested in him last year, like a top five rookie pick. So they're not trying to eat that loss 1 year in when it's not like he looked terrible. It's just that he didn't get a lot of run.
Yeah, you know what's funny? This doesn't have to be in the show, but at Lynch's last season was 2014. I'm surprised I actually remembered something. And then we were right, Thomas Rawls, that was 2015. He had a great season, pretty good season. Christine Michael. It's spelled like Christine. I think it's Christian, God. But I always get a kick because I call him Christine. And Mike Davis in 2017, but that was before Chris Carson, you know, came on, and then of course Chris Carson in 2018. But yeah, absolutely could be Rashad Penny in 2019 and Travis Homer in 2020. I mean, you just don't know with these guys.
It's going to be Rashad Penny in 2019, 20, and 2021.
So you're recommending
Shane's all in, man.
You're recommending people to send out first round 2020 first round picks to try to get Penny.
No, that's fucking stupid.
Well, you just said. You just said you sent a late first.
He's not going to go that
long. No, 2019 picks.
Oh, during this year.
Yeah, not next
See,
year.
It's not funny. In my mind, all my rookie drafts are all done. So when you talk about picks, I don't have any picks left in most of my leagues, you know, so I just immediately went to next year. So you're saying.
Are you just kidding me? Why are you starting a rookie draft on Memorial Day?
Yeah, like, I don't know. All mine are done except for that one league that we haven't finished getting ready, the League of Know-It-Alls. But every other rookie draft's done. So my mind
that's
immediately.
Because there is a league that.
Oh, that's right. The Listener HQ1. League starts tomorrow. Wait, HQ1, no, maybe. Starts Friday morning. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that one, too. Yeah, that starts Friday morning. But so my mind just went there, too. So you're saying not 2020 first then. So. So for the people that have already had their rookie drafts, what would you suggest people send out offers for to get Rashad Penny?
I don't know.
You're saying, you're telling people, you're telling people that you like him and that he's the future there and everything.
Look, I'm gonna do like I always do. I'm gonna try to get him for the least that I can.
But
so
I'm talking...
I would probably bundle up a couple of wide receivers that are okay. Like, I like Kiki Kuti, but I trade Kiki Kuti straight up for Rashad Penny if someone will take it.
Well, I think that's kind of the point of what we're supposed to talk on the show is your advice to give people what they should do.
And not valuing those 2020s as highly as everyone else because it's correct. A full year away.
Yep.
I honestly would give my 2020 first for Rashad Penny if I thought he was going to be this year and next year and beyond guy for sure. Because he's going to help me well before that 2020, whoever I'm going to take at that pick in 2020, you know, a year from now, right?
100%.
I get something out of Rashad Penny. Certainly, if he's going to be a starting running back for Seattle, he's definitely worth that first round 2020 pick, no?
Yeah, just, I mean, but
hypothetically.
I know, but just like a couple things keep dancing through my head every time I trade a 2020 pick away, and I've done it, obviously. But just Travis Etienne. Like, I just have visions of, like, somehow that would have been my pick. And then I'll remember that for the next decade of my life.
Oh, and there's a lot of talent coming out of that class. Probably if many of those juniors declare, it could be a huge first round, like every pick, you know, right? But, I mean, there's a lot of ifs and maybes. And if Rashad Penny's on the short track to getting that gig, I would want a piece of that instead. Because, you know, 2020, when Rashad Penny's finishing off, you know, I can maybe get a 2021 or 2022 and have a first round pick and replace him then. Just to get in on a starting running back earlier is all I'm saying. It just depends on how you want to play it.
As far as trading away 2020 picks, I've said it a bunch of times that I'm perfectly fine trading away some of my future stuff to get something that'll help me. I don't know whether I would do it for Rashad Penny. But, you know, it's funny with a lot of these kids, like you're talking about Rashad Penny and you also mentioned Royce Freeman. You know, another one is Ronald Jones, too. You know, there's these guys that just did not perform last year, but people are expecting them this year to do something. You know, Ronald Jones is one of the ones that came across our timeline with a couple people asking us about trade offers. And do you believe in him at all?
He's a real person.
Oh, my God. Of course he's a real person. But I'm just saying, when you're talking about Royce Freeman and Rashad Penny, do you have any thoughts on Ronald Jones or no?
Well, first of all, don't put him in the class of Royce Freeman other guy.
Why not?
Because
he was a running back that was drafted last year that doesn't have anybody in front of him this year.
Well, Peyton Barber?
Peyton Barber, re-signed him to one.
Peyton Barber.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. So he's in the same class as those other two guys because he's got an open floor in front of him that if he could do something, then maybe he could, you know?
Do something, do it. Oh. Yeah, he's not, but I'm just saying, like, Rashad Penny at least showed me a little bit last year, and I still believe in Royce Freeman because he has a three down. He can at least catch the ball a little bit.
Right.
It's still not been a proven fact that Ronald Jones has ever caught any passes that were ever thrown in his direction at any point in his life.
What's funny is
he looked bad, man.
but he's still in that same conversation.
I get
because
what you're
a lot of people talk about him, and he comes across our timeline a lot. So that's why I asked you.
If I can buy him cheap, I'll buy him cheap. You know, I did that like where I could. Before the draft, I was sending out, I believe, like late seconds for him, trying to get him, and I got him in a couple leagues. But again, most of the people that had him weren't ready to cut bait yet.
Right.
You know, they're like, look, I invested a first round pick in this guy last year. At this point, I'm just going to ride this thing in, you know, a flaming car down the street until
it explodes. Sunk cost, man. Just keep it. Ride it to the sunset.
And that's true. So the other guy that we had on the here about the news was Aaron Jones. And I wish people could see our show sheet. You want to say how you wrote it on the show sheet, Shane?
Well, first, you know, I feel like we skipped over to one thing. So we got to go back to Darrell Henderson. I also put 2019 running back one.
But you said that during the show, so it's not as funny as what you wrote. Yeah, you said that. But it's not as funny as what you wrote about Aaron Jones.
Oh, Aaron Jones, not a fatty anymore. Well, one, I think he stopped smoking weed because, you know, he did get suspended for that.
But you didn't read the whole sentence, though.
Okay, Adam.
What do you
Adam,
do when you're done smoking weed? You snack a lot. I mean,
Aaron Jones is not a fatty anymore. His body fat is down to 5.3%. It's been halved since last offseason. So apparently, if we're doing half, It was 10.6 last offseason.
Oh my God. It's just so funny to me that that's how you wrote it on the show sheet. But
not a yeah, fatty anymore.
You know, and also talking about his body fat. It's cool how that is, well, I don't know about if it's cool, but it's a news story. So, you know, do you believe, because that's the other thing, you wrote the exact same thing you wrote as Daryl Henderson. You wrote Aaron Jones, RB1, with a bunch of question marks and exclamation points. Do you believe he's an RB1 now that he's not a fatty anymore?
Oh, no, not at all. Until I can see him get through a full 16-game schedule and I don't have Matt LaFleur talking about, you know, that he likes the committee approach, unfortunately, I'm just not going to believe it. And, I mean, he has no draft pedigree. What is he? He's either a fifth or a sixth-round draft pick. I forget. There's nothing invested in him. There's nothing invested in Jamal Williams. Like, for all we know, Dexter
Williams. Yeah. Williams, he's a exactly. fourth round pick and he's yeah. not a bad running back. He's a bigger guy. Yep. He probably fits that scheme pretty well. Honestly, he and Aaron Jones could very well split the backfield this year because there's really nobody in front of Dexter Williams except Aaron Jones. Yeah. Aaron Jones hasn't proven anything with this new staff, like Shane just said, doesn't have the draft pedigree. He was there before the coaches came in. I mean, he's a good running back, but I mean, I like his style a lot, but I'm not willing to say, oh yeah, Aaron Jones, he was good, pretty good last year. I've always liked him. He's going to be the Green Bay starter, because that'd be crazy. You don't know. Dexter Williams could beat him out some point this season, and people are going to be like, man, I can't believe that.
Well, now, and don't get it twisted. I mean, he looked really good last year. Like, yeah, it was annoying when they were not giving him the fucking ball.
Yeah, they don't
because
get it
was so much better than Jamal Williams that it was like, are the Packers coaches literally blind?
Jamal Williams is horrible.
Like, you know, there's not anything wrong with it if they are blind, but they should at least, I don't know, get someone to tell them like how good Aaron Jones looked. But all that said, yeah, he's not. There's no cost. There's no real capital invested in him. They drafted another guy that's similar to him, who's a little bit bigger. I don't know about his pass pro. So, and if he happens to be good at that, well, then Aaron Jones could, you know, he might, like Jeremy just said, he could just end up splitting some work with him. And if it's a 3-man committee, that's really not good.
It's funny too, because with fantasy, a lot of people just think about, oh, he's so great, you know, oh, he's so good, you got to play him. But you have to really look at the system he's in and the team he's on and what they're willing to do with him. And with that team, is there anybody, I mean, obviously besides Aaron Rodgers, but is there anybody on that team offensively that you like look forward to getting in startups? Because to me, in startups,
Devontae Adams.
Well, okay,
yeah, that's about it.
So Devontae Adams would be the only one then, right? He's a top. Well, second round.
I like St. Brown to develop and become a decent wide receiver, but I don't know how good he'll be. I mean, I think he'll be a starter someday, but I don't know that he'll ever be a wide receiver one type. But there's nobody on that team. Maybe Sternberger in a rookie draft you get later on. But yeah, other than Aaron Jones and Dexter Williams, Sternberger, Adams, of course, there's nobody I'm targeting on that team at all. Rodgers.
Are you ignoring Geronimo?
Well, Geronimo Allison, yeah, he's one of the three starting wideouts when they go. Yeah, I mean, he did well, but yeah, I'm not targeting any of those guys. I'm telling you.
I love Geronimo Allison. I get him in every startup I've been in this year.
When
I know you like
when
him.
I just
drafted him in the 15th round in a draft.
That's good. Okay, yeah, the 15th round, Geronimo Allison.
But I'll take him earlier than that. I mean, he had a really good 4-game stretch last year. His fifth game, he got hurt. So people are looking at his stats, too. Doing the whole division thing by five when it's actually 4 games that he played because he got hurt early. Yeah,
there were some opportunities last year. The vacated spots, the injuries at wide receiver, lots of guys had chances to step up. And
none of them did.
He kind of did. He did. Well, after all the other guys.
Yeah, after he went out, no one did shit on that team. MVS had one good game or two good games on like 4 receptions. Overrated. And then didn't do shit most of the rest of the season. St. Brown,
started slow. I'm not surprised by that, though. I was never as high on him as some people were. Oh, he's going to, you know, he's a first-round guy and all that. Even the Devy crowd, they loved him. But I still think that he's a value now, and he's I really expect him to get and hold on to a starting wide receiver spot. That kid is talented, but he's got to put it together. But like I said, maybe he's going to be the the beta receiver the whole time with Adams there. And so, you know, how many are three guys going to be wide receiver one? So I just look at that team outside of Adams. I'm just not that interested until, like you, in round 953.
I was just going to say,
Yeah, man.
If you're talking about the 15th round, that means like 170 players have been picking before him.
No, but I'll draft him before that. It was just that I happened to notice, like, holy shit, he's still on the board. I'll draft him in the 10th or 11th round. I think he's going to be a wide receiver, too, this year.
You do?
Yeah, I think that's a value place to take Allison for. If you're getting him at that spot, I think that's a value, yeah. I mean, you're talking about a starting wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers has made multiple, you know, on the same years, he's made multiple receivers successful. There's no Cobb there anymore, who really was useless the last couple seasons, except for taking targets from the good receivers. None of the rookie, you know, the second year guys, Jamon Moore or MVS, really, I'm not worried about them. Those are just guys that are, you know, on the roster that are, you know, they're depth pieces. But I think Allison, they brought him back. They've re-signed him, gave him a decent contract for 1 year after he was injured. They didn't need to. They could have let him test free agency. They let Randall Cobb walk, you know, so I like Allison a lot. He's a guy that he's another one. Like, if I can get people to throw him in a trade, you best believe I'll ask him to throw them in real quick. His MFL, Fantasy Sharks projections.
Yeah.
They got him at 59 receptions, 767 yards and 4 touchdowns, which I don't know what they based their projections on. Somehow they have him with 4 rushing attempts for 22 yards. Specific as.
Like, oh my god, man! That's a hell of a forecast. Yeah,
he must have had some kind of carries. What about that Jake Kumaro? Because I saw people like getting him in
Jake
some.
Kumaro.
Some of these startups that we're in, he ends up getting taken too. So, well, before we hear from the Scouting Academy, we had one more news story here.
Darryl Bevell. I just thought it was funny. So he was quoted saying something along the lines of, "We'll always be about running the football." First of all, I don't know if he's been in Detroit long enough to use the "will always." Like, that implies like you've been there a while. Like, dude just got there, didn't he?
Yeah, and it is funny that you said that, because my first thought was, wait a second, what team is he with now? You know, but yeah, when he says that we'll always be running the football, so they're talking about. Kerryon Johnson. So
yeah,
besides Kerryon Johnson, do they still have Theo Riddick there and who else? I mean,
but Theo Riddick is going to get, I mean, they already started phasing him out. He's more of a slot receiver at this point anyway.
Right. So who else Hopefully is there?
CJ Anderson.
So that's what he's going to do. It's going to be Kerryon Johnson and CJ Anderson.
They have Ty Johnson undrafted out of Maryland. Who's not really a threat. I think Kerryon is going to ball out. But I was just looking at the receiver stats, man, and it's not pretty. excuse me, his wide receiver ones, five, or let's do it the other way because it makes it sound worse. 7 out of 12 times they haven't hit 100 targets. Excuse me, let's try that again.
One more time, take it again.
Okay, so in 12 seasons, Darryl Bevell's wide receiver ones, have not gotten at least 100 targets on 7 occasions. I mean, they've only exceeded 100 targets 5 times.
And
5
out of 12. What teams were those?
I didn't look at all of them, but I was looking at the career highs. It was Doug Baldwin, who I think I might have put a typo on the show sheet because I have that he had 2016 targets. 2016. That would be a lot.
And that would have been something that would have been all over every social media. He had 216
yards. I don't think the Seahawks ever did that. never did that.
I'm pretty sure that would be a record, 2016 targets by a lot. So he actually had 125 targets in 2016. Uh-huh. And way back in 2011, I didn't even put the year for this.
So, I was going to say, you have, yeah. Jesus
Christ, I am terrible tonight. But way back in 2009, a full decade ago, Sidney Rice had 121 targets.
Was that 10 years ago?
Yes, we are that old. Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks for those teams, Sidney Rice and.
So the point is, do you believe him then?
I'm not sure. Baldwin, I know it was Russ, but with Sidney Rice, it was when he was with Minnesota in 2009. Culpepper, probably.
Man, if they don't use Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, even, you know, Danny Amendola, if they don't use Galladay and Jones, that'll be hugely disappointing. Hawkinson too, you know.
Well, you know, wow. I'm looking at, and I'm using
terrible, man.
I'm using our boy Addison's website, FF Statistics.
Yes.
Great site. I'm using them a ton for our redraft guide.
Yeah.
Which, don't forget, DFF's doing a redraft guide. It's Woo-hoo! Coming soon. So we're using a lot of FF statistics for my coaching stuff that I'm looking at. Their wide receiver twos, or not theirs, but Daryl Bevel's wide receiver two averages 68 targets a year. That is fucking atrocious.
So wait, so then do you believe him then that it's going to just be all carry on all day?
It has. I mean, just looking at the, he doesn't target, like, he doesn't like throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like he is, like, religiously opposed to throwing the football.
That's weird.
What was the forecast for Geronimo Allison again? 70 some receptions?
They had him at 59 and 700 receiving yards.
Okay. Only 59 receptions. So not to the level of Daryl Bevel, wide receiver two. I'm just thinking about this in my head, totally just listening.
It's funny. Cause in our startup in Dynasty Degenerates 4, we're on the clock in two picks, but Geronimo was just taken just now.
What round?
1304 he was picked.
Yeah, I would have taken him before that.
It's like Memphis was listening to our show while we're recording. So
he likes us.
Yeah, he just took him. He took him there. And
don't forget to check out the Dynasty Warzone.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're on the clock in two picks. But all right. Well, why don't we hear from the Scouting Academy and then we'll get into some of the trades that we have tonight.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So, Scouting Academy, if you want to go ahead and learn how to be a scout like a pro, you can get a jump on that 2020 class that everyone's talking about and the 2021 class, which is also supposed to be pretty good. And if you really want to get deep with it, I hear the 2022 class should be pretty epic as well. But I think those kids are like 14 years old right now, so I'm not checking that out. But yeah, just go ahead and check out the Scouting Academy, hit the link on our site and get that $50 discount on the next session. It's a great program. Just read some of the testimonials that people give about it. It's a great, great, great program. A trade alert.
Holy crap.
Was that loud?
A little bit.
I feel like I haven't been bringing it lately. So
no,
I
tried to bring it. You haven't. It's been a while, man. Good job.
So, you know, so I had to step it up there. So here we go. So there was actual four trades in this league. Rookie drafts are fun, man, because then everybody wakes up that's been hibernating for 6 months.
Right. All right.
So 14-team Superflex, 5-point passing touchdowns, PPR, tight end premium, 1.5 PPR, and 0.25 points PPC, a quarter point per carry. You got all that, Michael?
Yes. Fortunately, you wrote it all down so I can read it. I wouldn't remember that.
All right.
So what's the trade?
We got one trade. We got AJ Green and Eric Ebron for TJ Hockenson and Damian Williams.
I know which side I would want.
Oh.
I would want the AJ Green Ebron side.
Okay.
Jeremy?
Green and Ebron.
All right. Well, take that as a win for me. That is me.
Yay! Congratulations.
I got these out of order, so I'll just get to knock this one out real quick. Daniel Jones for Cooper Kupp. Remember, it's a 14-team super flex.
Daniel Jones, I mean, starting quarterback for the Giants or Cooper Kupp coming off of an injury. I mean, you go for the quarterback. It's not like Cooper Kupp is DeAndre Hopkins you're giving up here.
Yeah, I would want Daniel Jones also.
All right, two big wins. I had to bank those wins because I already know how this is going to go.
Oh.
We're going to keep in mind it helped me get something later that I wanted. So, well,
that's
Michael
a
Thomas,
totally different story.
Yes.
Then.
And a 2020 second rounder for Marlon Mack and a 2020 first rounder.
No.
It's so obvious I'd want the Michael Thomas side, but the way you made it sound is that you did that deal to be able to facilitate a second deal. So,
well, I just wanted more picks. So basically the whole impetus in this league was just fucking building running back depth. You have to start one wide receiver. You can start 1 to 5 wide receivers.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's the same exact thing for running backs. You can only start 8 players in a super flex.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So the top running backs always outscore the top wide receivers?
It's even because of that you know, the PPC.
I still want Michael Thomas in the second round.
I was going to say, the one thing I would say about that is I would think you could get something better than Marlon Mack for Michael Thomas.
I would expect so.
All right.
But it's good.
So I think they got a pretty good deal from you, man.
But it's good. It's good that you had 2 wins and a loss there.
This is what we do. We trade in volume, and you're just trying to win more than you lose, and not lose the ones that you lose real bad.
Trade in volume. Too.
But wait, I do like what you said before. You said this. You said that. Keep in mind, it was for something else. What did you do afterwards, or were you just saying that?
What did you do?
So, you got that 2020 first, but did you move that?
Of course I did.
Yeah, so then, okay, this is different.
I traded Anthony Miller, and mind you, again, I can start, if I want to, 1 wide receiver. And the other wide receivers on the roster, there's A.J. Green, there's Robert Woods, and there's a couple other guys. So Anthony Miller, a 2021st, a 2023rd rounder for Miles Sanders.
So hold on. Whoa. So this was the net trade. You gave up Michael Thomas and a 2020 second rounder. Your net return was Miles Sanders for those 2 pieces.
No. He gave up Michael Thomas, a 2020 second. Anthony Miller, a 2021st, a 2023rd.
Well, no, because I didn't have the 2021st to begin with. I used that later.
Put this in 2 columns or something. Put what you got on one.
Okay, so he gave up Michael Thomas, a second and a third, and Anthony Miller, and he got Miles Sanders and Marlon Mack.
I'm not asking what he gave up after he got it. I'm asking about return after giving up Thomas and the 2020 second rounder. What did you get?
That's what I just said.
Marlon Mack and Miles Sanders.
That's it. Marlon Mack and Miles Sanders is what he ended up netting after trading away Michael Thomas and that 2020 second.
And Anthony Miller and a 2023rd. He gave away those pieces as well. I'm just saying. He gave away 4 things and got 2 is what he got.
So
Jeremy's confused.
The net gain was Miles Sanders and Marlon Mack. Is that it?
That's it.
Wow,
and,
dude.
And he gave up Michael Thomas, Anthony Miller, a second and a third.
Dude, really? It's just hard to see the way you have this all set up here, and like instead of like what you gave up.
Do you think obviously Michael Thomas is a top 12 wide receiver.
Right.
Do we think Anthony Miller is even a wide receiver 3?
No, that's the thing. I was going to say, this is a 0.25 PPC league, and he needs running backs. So ultimately, he gave up Michael Thomas and a couple, a 2 and a 3 or whatever, to get 2 running backs. So I like Miles Sanders better than Marlon Mack. I'm not a big fan of Marlon Mack, but if Marlon Mack
Sanders
is good...
And Mack.
Yeah, I mean, so then you got 2 running backs for Michael Thomas, because the rest of it is all
filler. I don't want that side, though.
Yeah,
I like the side you started with before you parted with the pieces, but I can see why you did it in this league.
The main reason I say it is that I think maybe he could get something better for Michael Thomas, but if Miles Sanders ends up being as great as everybody seems to think, it could end up being a great deal for him. What other running backs do you have in that league?
All right, so now I have Marlon Mack, Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, and Tariq Cohen. And then just guys like Wendell Smallwood, Frank Gore, and Chris Warren.
But what about wide receivers?
Did you have Joe Mixon before you made this trade?
No, yeah, I had Joe Mixon already.
And Tariq Cohen?
Okay. Yeah.
But what
yeah.
about wide receivers? What did you have wide receiver then?
Let's see, wide receivers. Well, now I have A.J. Green. I have Robert Woods. Those are probably the two wide receivers I'll start every week, and then the three running backs. And then I got younger guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Robert Foster, Gary Jennings. I got Marvin Jones, but fuck, I need to trade him quickly. Curtis Samuel, Al Wilson.
All right, so ultimately, we still think you should have kept Michael Thomas, but it could work out for you. You never know. Jeremy just looks like he doesn't even want to talk about it anymore.
That's all right, because I'm going to start one wide receiver a week, and it's going to be A.J. Green.
All right,
as long
cool.
as math works out. So at least until week 10 when he's injured, and then I'll start someone else.
Yeah, the Miles Sanders train is really big. I mean, there's some startups that I'm seeing where he gets – or rookies where he gets drafted like second and third in those drafts.
And these teams, these leagues where you can – where you're only forced to start – the requirement is one player at a position, and you can flex the second quarterback, and you can start – you know, five wide receivers and one running back, or five running backs and one wide receiver. It gives so much flexibility. Like, you could almost not, can almost not mess up the draft as long as you go for players that are actually, you know, good players, because you can stack whatever you want out there on any week. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. Like, it should make for more parity. Mike and I are drafting. Well, you're in this too. Did you know you're in this league?
Yeah.
It's a podcast Degenerates league. Four.
It's a podcast league for Dynasty Degenerates for Frank Scanduro and you know, his league. It's like that. And we're drafting with the intent of just basically getting the best players we can every time that we're going to roll out. We were just finishing our starting lineup, but it's like, you don't have to worry about having, you know, four running backs and seven wide receivers. You just get the players that are the best, that you like the best, and plug them in. So whatever you did, as long as you got players you wanted, you know, dude, you made my head hurt with so many moving parts on those freaking multiple trades. You are either a genius or I want to smack the piss out of you, because I don't fucking understand some of this stuff, man. It's so intricate and involved. It's wild to me, man.
You know,
good work, though.
And Shane, yeah, I you always have to put some things into context when you have that second piece that you're looking for after the trade, because it's the same with my friend Greg, Dynasty Greg. When we do our drafts, he does a lot of trades where he thinks 2-3 trades down the road. Like, he has this one trade in mind because he's already has a second trade set up with somebody else, and then he has the third idea. So when you said, well, keep in mind I had something else afterwards, it puts it in context what you did. The other thing,
because it's a big picture.
Yeah, yeah.
It works out for Greg. That's great. But I think that's, you know, hopefully it works out. I don't know.
Well, I'm not saying every single time. I'm just saying that's a strategy that some people use sometimes.
Yeah, just know that I didn't have a deal in place. I was just looking to grab either Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, or Josh Jacobs. And I was just going to go to that owner with a 2021st and then something else.
And Shane, it is funny in that Dynasty Degenerates 4, like Jeremy was saying, we've already done 7 trades in this startup, and we keep trading up trying to get some players that we want. So,
hey,
all right,
trading's fun.
Before,
all right, you know what?
What?
Before we wrap the show up, we have a very special hashtag Trash Dynasty trade offer.
Oh yeah, why is it so special?
Very special. It comes from our friend Manolo, if I'm going to pronounce that last name right, Manolo
Folcarelli.
That was my Italian accent, is it good?
Yeah, no, but go ahead.
So Madman, whoever that might be,
oh, I don't know,
will give up Danny Amendola, Rob Gronkowski, 2019 304 for Nick Foles.
So wait, put it in perspective. This is in the HQ1 listener league. That's a 16 team.
The only pick that this guy had to give away was the 2019
super flex.
A 16 team super flex league. And and Jeremy said, so wait, so Manolo sent that to us asking us to mention it on the show?
No, he didn't ask. I'll say that real quick.
Oh, okay.
But he definitely tweeted it out. Yeah, he definitely tweeted it out, and I think he
I never saw this trade. I like what this madman guy is selling right here. You have to wonder, is he like a commissioner in this league? Is this his league? Because he knows a lot about it, and he's like, you know, trying to roll his big one right out in there. But you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, getting Nick Foles in the 16-teamer seems like a good move to make, in my opinion.
Oh my god!
I will trade you this retired player, this wide receiver that might play 10 games.
I like fulking around with Fulcarelli.
And the best part,
I'm bad at math, so I'm going to try this. And a 16
that's what I was just going to say.
48. That would make it the 52nd rookie pick.
Well, I mean, if you're using a trade calculator, it might be a little lopsided.
That is the funniest part about the whole draft is when you talk about it. Oh, yeah, it's a third round pick. Yeah, but in this league, a third round, what'd you say, the 304? It's the 36th pick is what it is.
16 plus 16.
I'm looking at it right here. 304. Oh, wait, it says 36 pick.
Yeah, I'm not going with that. So what I did is I did 16 times three. That would obviously mean that you did three rounds.
The funny thing in this league is Jeremy like highlights his name in a color. So when you look at the draft, his blue madman sticks out at the 36th pick in the draft.
Looks great on my phone, man.
I'm looking at it right here. So.
I tried to change it, and it wouldn't let me change it. I meant to mention that to you. Like, I tried to change it. Maybe I was in commissioner mode, but I tried to change it
to
a darker
blue
color.
It's dark blue now, so you did change it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's dark blue.
Yeah. Manilow, you gotta learn to accept those great trades, man, honestly.
so I think... I think it'd be great to wrap the show up with that awesome Dynasty trade trash offer. But so what did you have real quick? You said you wanted to say something before we wrap up? What's real quick?
It's the Midwest FF Expo, and I'm guessing that stands for fantasy football.
why don't we have Jeremy... talk about it, because this is Jeremy's baby anyways. Jeremy, what are we doing in August?
Not really. Well, that's fine. Shane said it well. It's the Midwest Fantasy Football Expo. It's in Canton, Ohio. Bob Long, you know, the consistency expert, right? The guy who puts out the consistency guide every year that's well-received, won an award the FSWA this past year, the Fantasy Sports Writers Association, started this expo, basically a conference in Canton. You know, all kinds of fantasy football types are going to rub elbows and have booths there. And, you know, Shane was doing a fine job. The only reason I found out about it early on is that Bob's in an all-Ohio dynasty startup. We're doing all-Ohio fantasy football guy. All-Ohio fantasy football analyst league. And so he tweeted it in there when he was thinking about putting this together and wondered how many of us would be able to show up because we're in Ohio. So, Canton is in Ohio, where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is right down the road, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame is right there in Canton. And so it'd be a great time. And, you know, we're going, right, guys? And Shane, why don't you continue on with what you wanted to tell everyone? Give them the website link and all that stuff.
Oh, there's a website link.
Let me put it on the sheet for you.
The website link is ffexpo@fantasystuff.com.
Oh my God, that is not what it is. But listen, no, I think it'll be great. And the three of us are going to be there. We'll have a table. We'll get to meet some people that are coming, and we'll get to meet some of the other people in the industry that are there. Shane, I know Jeremy mentioned earlier, if we can work it out where we fly in on Saturday, the three of us will go to the Hall of Fame or something on Saturday before the convention, because the convention's only a 1-day convention on Sunday.
Yeah. I was really hoping to see their famous lake too. Is that Lake Erie?
Yeah, Lake Erie is actually really a nice place.
Yeah, but what is it going to be like? National Lampoon's Vacation? We're just going to look at the lake and then move on to the next thing. What do you want to see?
Canton's right down the road.
I want to go to the Hall of Fame Museum.
That's what I'm saying. We'll go to the Hall of Fame on Saturday, and then we'll do the convention on Sunday and fly out. That, guys. Anybody? It seems like we do have a lot of friends on our Twitter feed that are in Ohio. So maybe
There's a ton of people. I don't remember all the names, but there's a ton of fantasy people that are going to be going to it. So
exactly.
It's going to be a good time to hang out. We can get shitty drunk and maybe get in a bar fight or something.
Hey, nice. You know, the other thing too is we can do what we did in Vegas if you want to. I'll bring all this equipment and we'll record a show or something live from there if you want to do that.
Yeah, we'll try that. And also, we should tell everyone, we'll tweet out the link where you can buy tickets and find out more information about the expo. But I do like the idea. We should definitely podcast while we're there.
All right. Well, as soon as we get the website, we'll send it out to everybody.
Now we're going to go do a patron show.
Yes.
We love our patrons.
We love them.
So, yeah. So check out Dynasty Trades HQ on Twitter. Check out on Facebook. iTunes, on Facebook. Yes. And check out our Patreon account. Check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. Check out our store at dthq.storenv.com. And we love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
I don't love everyone. I mean, I like most of our listeners. There's a couple that I really, like, really enjoy, but, like, love's a strong word.
Just say goodbye.
Bye.